For today's episode, my son and I traveled to Long Beach, California to attend the OCTO show, the Orange County Transporter Organization. It's a pre-67 only show, 67 bus show. You can drive whatever you want, but you can't take your vehicle into the show unless it's a split window 67 or earlier type 2 bus. Oftentimes, the parking lot is as good as the show because people drive their bugs and their type 3s and their other cool vintage cars. But the real attraction is inside the show. This show goes on twice a year, and there's always a great selection of parts. They have a raffle. So my son and I are going to go around and see what's going on today. The weather is actually quite nice. It's been raining a lot, and it's supposed to rain again starting tomorrow. So, the weather turns out to be good for us today. So let's see what's going on in the 2024 Winter OCTO Show. Okay, so we're entering the show now. I've been coming to these early bus shows for decades, really. Before OCTO, there was a different organization called SODO. SODO sort of went the way of the dodo, and then OCTO was born. It's a great show. It's held in the parking lot of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum on the campus of Long Beach City College. Pretty good turnout today. A lot of parts, a lot of buses. Even though it's a bus-only show, there's always good parts hunting going on here. So let's see what we can find. We're going to talk to some people and just have a good kickback, fun day. For those of you who have read about OCTO in Javi W's or some of the other magazines, it's definitely a worthwhile show to come to. I don't know that there's anywhere else in the world where you get this many super cool split window buses together all in the same place. You got original buses, you got restored buses, you got hacked buses, you got rust buckets, you got it all. And people come from really all over the country and sometimes all over the world to attend this show. So we're really lucky to be here in Southern California and be able to just drive a little ways and attend it. Would you mind if I interviewed you real quick for my podcast?
Okay.
Yeah, so we've got Gabriel here from Gabriel's Keys, right? So if anybody's ever needed a key or any kind of lock or handle for their VW, he's the guy to go to, right? And so he's here. He's got a whole setup. He's got all kinds of parts, and he's making keys on the spot. How long have you been doing this?
A minute or two. I think since 1993.
Since 1993. So if somebody needs a key made, what do they do? I mean, if they can't make it to the OCTO show and see you in person.
You can find me so easy on thesamba.com. That's where I sell most of my keys and stuff. So right away, they can find my name right there. And then you're going to find a phone number. And, you know, I usually answer more to text messages than anything. But if they send me an email, I respond as well. Right, that's my bus right there. And you can see on the shade, that's the name of our business, GabVWKey.com.
Okay, great. GabVWKey, so it's GabVWKey.com.
Basically, the first three letters of my name, Gabriel, Gab, and then VWKey.
Tell me about this bus.
Well, I got that bus out of a collection in Puerto Rico. They sell 175 cars. That one just made it to Puerto Rico. It was only there for 2 years when I bought it, and I brought it back to California. I own it since 2019.
So was that part of the collection that was sold on oldbug.com?
Yes, Bulkyland, and then Randy Carlson is the one that sold me the bus. He says there were six buyers ahead of me, but he goes, I know you, so I'll sell it to you. And I'm very happy.
It's super cool. So for our listeners, it's a, 66?
1966
high roof. And what color is that?
It's supposed to be light gray. Right now, it's a little bit more beige than anything, but it's supposed to, the original color is light gray.
Like Eddie Collins, who's way into the high roof buses. Yes. This one is great if you own a business and you need to show up to a show with a ton of parts and equipment to make keys, like Gabriel's doing. And it's really beautiful, and I like it a lot. And he's got a Westie style roof rack up there, so he's ready to go.
I made it to Havasu on that one last month. It runs great. 1500. The smallest of the BW engines make it there, no problem.
So you went to buses by the bridge in that?
Bridge, yeah. Okay, cool. Sleep in there, that's my mobile home right there. I wanted to do a self-swap just like Eddie's. But I go like, no, I already have a bed there, so I don't need it. It's perfect for me because you can stand up. In 2019, I had a stroke. So my mobility is limited a little bit, so it's perfect there. I could change, I could do anything. On a bus, you can. Like, you know, yeah. I'm not that tall, but, you know, on a regular bus, you can. This one, I could just stand up. I could do whatever I need to do in there, and it's already equipped with a bed. And all my part, everything they use here, it's in the bus, you know.
So is that original paint or?
That they repainted. I mean, on the inside, you could see the original color. But this is just a respray that they did. Probably a bulky line because it's not a expensive paint job or anything like that. But it's solid. I mean, I like it. You
know? It looks great. I love
it. I'm going to touch it. I'm just driving it. I'm just having fun with it, you know.
Absolutely.
Fine. It took me 20 years to find one.
Yeah, high roofs are hard to find. There's not a lot of them.
I basically found like 3 buses in Europe, and they were about anywhere from 20,000 euros to 50, and they were all projects. So I did really good on this one. I paid about 30, you know, with probably shipping was expensive from Puerto Rico. I ended up paying maybe like 32.
So tell me about shipping a car from outside of the country, because I think a lot of people find cars that they want, but because right now I see a notchback, for example, that's for sale in the UK, but I think, boy, is the hassle of shipping. So tell me about the process of shipping.
Cheap. It used to be cheap. You could, like this guy right here, you should talk to him, Glenn. He's got a shipper that they trust. They have one in the Netherlands, and Randy uses another guy from the Netherlands. And it used to be around $2,000. Now, I don't know where is that. But it was funny that from Puerto Rico, it cost me $3,200 to ship it from Puerto Rico because they had to put it in a ship all the way from Puerto Rico to Florida and then from Florida in a trailer all the way over here. So, and then luckily, this was running. They would have charged me more if it wasn't running because they needed to put it in a container, then on a ship. But they just drove this one on the bus. They just, you know, and I saved, I don't know, $500, you know.
Wow. But so it came through Florida, but it got delivered to your door.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was freshly out of my recuperating from my stroke when he showed up, you know. The guy put it on, I don't know what the carrier. And he had to deflate the tires because it's too tall. Yeah. So when he got there, he's like, oh, how are we going to roll it? It's got flat tires. So he struggled, I say at least an hour, trying to figure out how to inflate the tires without touching the cars on top of him to get it down. I was just looking at this and like, oh, my God, you know. But he did it. He delivered right on my door.
Cool, I love it. Well, it's a great bus, and you know, you don't know me, obviously. My name's Cameron, and this is my son, Peter. But you've made keys for me for a long, long time.
Oh,
and anybody who needs a key made, you need to get in touch with Gabriel. He gave you his website. You can find him on the Samba. And if you're lucky enough to be in California and you can come to the Octo Show, probably the best way is you can come, meet him in person, and he'll make you the key right here on the spot, no waiting. And it's going to be, you know, because you have both reproduction and original keys, correct?
I have some original. It's getting harder and harder. Those keys are obsolete. They're not making them anymore. So all you're going to find is reproduction. But I still have a few original keys. You know, they're pricey, but at least some available. I did have several shows in Europe, and I was able to find some blanks. But they're disappearing. Well, once you sell them, they're gone. People tell me, when are you going to have more? Like, I don't know.
They're not making more. Yeah. Well, Gabriel, it was great. Thank you for taking your time to talk to me. And I'm really glad that you recovered from your stroke. You look great. And
everybody asked me, are you 100%? Like, I wasn't 100% before this stroke. But, hey, as good as could be, I'm driving my buses still, you know. Hey, it's a good day.
Yeah, what more can you ask for? All right, well, it was great talking to you. All right, thanks very much. I'm here with 10-foot Doug. Doug has a barn door. Tell me about your barn door.
1955, January 18th, 1955. It's one of the last 5,000 barn doors made. This was, of 117,000 barn doors, this is 112,000. It was originally imported to San Francisco. It's a real California delivered vehicle. It went to Oregon, and it was first sold in 56, and then I bought it from Oregon. It had been off the road since 1978, and the previous owner bought it for $300 with no motor. It said one used bus, VIN number 20112. And then he had it for 25 years, and then he had seven kids, and he didn't finish the bus. He painted it. It was all original paint, all original interior. He painted it. He wasn't happy with the paint. Some of it bubbled, and he needed his first kids to go to college money. So he sold it to me. I didn't repaint it. This is all his paint from when he restored it in 1980. And so he thought I repainted it, but I didn't. And you can still see rust bubbles and scratches and chips and stuff. So I bought it as a complete basket case. All the windows were out. All the wires were cut short. All the lights, engine, trans, brakes. So I put Porsche brakes on it. I put it together, didn't restore it. The rear deck lid is still in restoration. That's why it's in primer. People ask about that all the time. The bumpers, NOS bumpers, the dash still needs to be painted. So he was in the middle of the restoration in 1980. So he had seven kids, didn't touch it. I bought it, and then I just put his parts on it. But then I, like, make it my own. Like, so I put, like, Porsche brakes on it. I put, I have a Porsche motor for it. You know, I put it in a Telefunken radio and the Safaris. They're original Safaris, but are not original to the bus. All the interior is original. It still has, like, it has 16-inch Porsche rims on it. It's just the driver.
Tell me about this color. Is this the original color that the car came from the factory with?
Yeah. This is the only one colors you would get unless you got it in primer. So it's sealing wax red and chestnut brown. So all deluxe buses had that color scheme from 51 to 58.
And not only is this a deluxe bus, but it's a 23 window. So most of you listening know exactly what that means, but it means it has the 8 skylights and the ragtop sunroof, and what makes it really special are those corner windows. So how often do you drive this?
I drive it quite a bit. I camp with it. I go to the beach. I would say once a week, maybe twice a week. And you know, you were talking about the corner windows. This one, the barn door, is they're last for the plexiglass. So all the earlier buses used plexiglass corner windows. This is one of those plexiglass corner windows. And the later ones, they changed right in 55 to glass. So this was the very last ones of that. But like I said, I camp with it. I go to shows. I drive it to the beach. I drive it quite a bit, but not full time.
Sure. It's not like your daily commuter.
No, but I've driven to work. And, you know, like they have shows that night in Encinitas. So I'll take it there or in El Cajon. They have one, and they also have one in... What's it in East County? There's another one.
So you're a San Diego County person. Yeah. So are we. We're in Fallbrook.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then you know about the one Fallbrook show. The it's not a Fallbrook. What's the one? Cruising Grand?
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
So quickly, again, most of our listeners know exactly what a barn door is, but tell me in a few words, what is different about a barn door bus from any other pre-67 split window bus?
Yeah, so the term barn door came from the nickname from the rear deck lid that was very tall, so it's like as big as a barn door. That's how it got its nickname. But the barn doors, they don't have a front roof vent, so there's no fresh air box above your head, which is great. I love that, more headroom. The dash is different. The deluxe is the only one. And deluxe, ambulance, taxi, they all got full-length dashes. But... and police, fire, but so the dash is completely different. The front nose is you know, the overhead is different. The rear deck lid is different. But also the gas tank, where the gas tank is, it's on the left-hand side instead of in front of the engine. That's different. But other than that, it's real similar up to 67.
And I will say that this particular model does not have traditional turn signals on the nose. It has semaphores.
Yeah, so semaphores were used from the 30s. And in Europe, they were used to 61, and in the United States, they were used to 55, and this is a 55. This was the last, barn doors were the last ones that had semaphores, turn indicators. But yeah, this one has it.
He mentioned at the beginning of his story that this was originally imported to San Francisco, and so that makes a difference, because if you were a serviceman, for example, and you were stationed in Germany after the World War II, you might buy a European model bus, which had some slight differences, and you would bring it home, but this one was made to your American specifications.
Yeah, that's interesting, too, because they changed the headlights. The headlights in these are really rare. Now, the ones that I have in it, they're not the correct ones. They're European style. But the American versions use the clear egg headlight instead of the fluted ones, and then barn doors had the wider, they call it the eyebrow or sliver. So these are incorrect, but they still look good.
No, this thing is amazing. So listen, I want to thank you very much for talking to us, and your bus is beautiful, and I love the fact that you drive it, and I love the fact that you're San Diego County like we are.
Yeah, well, yeah. In the house.
All right.
Well, 9:30, I thought it was going to be 10 o'clock. So we're going to give you guys 5 minutes to get up here to the front. Raffle's going to start in 5 minutes.
What's your name?
My name is Bert Cota.
Bert, where are you from?
La Palma, California.
And tell us about this amazing bus I'm looking at here.
Well, actually, I acquired this bus in South Carolina, and it was built by a guy named Lee Hicks. I stumbled across it. I had a friend of mine who contacted me and told me there's a bus up for sale. And I looked on my phone, I called him 23 minutes after the listing, and I took off and grabbed tickets, and I flew to South Carolina that day to go look at it. So it kind of fell in my lap, and I'm glad it did, because I had been looking for a while. I have a 71 single cab as well, and then I have a 73 VW thing also, but I needed the bus for the grandkids, you know, so it worked out good.
So, for our listeners, this bus is beautiful. First of all, what year is it?
It's a 59.
So it's a 59. So it's walkthrough. So the reason that's important is walkthroughs were very rare before, you know, mid-60s. These early walkthroughs, the seats are different than a later walkthrough seats. It has the bullet lenses. What color is this bus?
It's a mango and seagull gray.
Mango and seagull gray. It's an amazing color combination. It's got the press bumper. Are those Safari windows original to the bus, or did you install them?
They're original to the bus.
Amazing. So when you got it, did it look like this?
It did. It looked a lot like this. I did go through some mechanics in it, and it had front disc brakes drilled and slotted, and I added rear disc brakes drilled and slotted to it. Just little odds and ends, details that do it your own way, you know, and tweak it a little bit. But other than that, the bus was painted and complete.
Wow. And so what kind of engine are you running?
It's a 2077 with a pro-built tranny.
It's lowered. What do you call those rims? Cosmos?
Yeah, they're actually reproduced, done in Oregon. I think you can see his name right stamped on them. Yeah, they're made to order. So those are 17-inch.
Beautiful. All right. Well, thank you for coming out, and thank you for talking to me. Your bus is awesome, and I've always wanted an early walkthrough, and I haven't made it there yet, so I'm a little envious, but I appreciate it.
Appreciate
All right.
It.
Have a great day. Yeah, you All too. Right. So one of the cool things about this show is that the sponsors, which include Wolfsburg West and Izzy's and a lot of other well-known manufacturers of parts, provide parts for a raffle. The buck a ticket, it's really worth it. Some years you don't win anything, other years I've won great stuff. We got ourselves $5 worth of tickets today, so we'll see if we win anything. The other cool thing about this show is there's two parts. There's a parts only area where you name it. It's not just bus stuff. It's bug, bus, type 3 thing, any kind of air-cooled stuff you can imagine, and other stuff. Some people come here and sell bikes, you know, and then the other part is just strictly cars. So while we're waiting for the raffle here, we're going to cruise through the parts area and see what we can find.
Ticket number is 264-540.
He will be in a second.
Yeah, he looks.
So what's your name?
My name is Bill Segrinos.
Bill, where are you from?
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, that's where I was born. Yeah. So tell me about your super cool double cab I'm looking at here.
A 1962 double cab pickup on the cover of November 2010 Hot VWs. It's a 2270 Type 4 currently in it, four-wheel disc brakes, 944 turbo brakes, tall geared trans. We drove it down from Vegas yesterday, so we'll be driving back this morning.
So cool. So for our listeners, I'm going to go ahead and call the look on this custom, just as a general description. So what did you do to this bus? And I know the list is long, so tell me about what you did to it to make it give this custom look.
Well, this bus, the inspiration for this bus came from a Tech Art Cayenne poster where it had Tech Art's an aftermarket company that builds things for Porsche 911s. They did, when the Cayenne came out, they came out, they had a photograph of one that was meteor gray that had the platinum wheels on it, and that was kind of my inspiration to build something that looked like it was a bit modern. So the style that this bus is built in is called German look. And so this bus has, you know, the big red caliper disc brakes on there. It's got a nice high horsepower motor, big tall gear transmission. This thing cruises on the highway at about 75, 80 miles an hour, no problem. And I mean, it's just built to run. And the whole theme of the bus, it's called the carbon cab, you know, because of all the carbon fiber accents on it, and everything's kind of done with a carbon fiber accent. So it's kind of a contemporary look bus.
It's very cool. Let's take a look at the front here. I noticed when I was walking by, you did some stuff to the headlights. Tell me about like the front of the bus.
So this has Rossi headlights on it, which were a headlight that you would take your glass bulb and go to a vertical bulb in a Beetle in the 80s. I took these headlights, turned them sideways, and put the H4 beams in them, and then the bumper's been dimple dyed, and it's got a 928 Porsche transmission cooler that's been modified to be used as an external oil cooler. So there's two oil coolers on this bus to keep the engine oil cool.
No wonder you can do 75 all day long in Las Vegas. And I see you got a tack mounted there to the dash. And then how about these Safaris? Were they original to the bus or did you add those?
No, these are a set of Izzy Safari windows that have been powder coated platinum to match the wheels. So the whole bus is platinum and Porsche Meteor Gray.
So how long have you had this bus?
Well, I bought this bus in 2008.
And did you do all this stuff or did you buy it like this?
No, I built it like this. This, myself and my brother at the wagon. So my brother owns a restoration shop back in Las Vegas called The Wagon. So,
oh, okay. Does he have a website?
He does. It's thewagon.com.
Okay, cool. That's good to know.
I also have a website.
Okay, what's your website?
My website's called Let's Talk Dubs.
Okay, cool. And so what will we find if we go to Let's Talk Dubs?
You'll find over 250 episodes of a weekly podcast on Volkswagens.
Okay, cool. How's that going for you?
It's going pretty good. We've got a large footprint worldwide, about 15,000 downloads a month, so it's doing pretty decent.
Awesome. I love it. Okay, great.
And good luck with your podcast. We always need more VW content out there.
Well, you know, we do. When, you know, I hatched this idea quite a while ago, believe it or not. And as we kind of got nearer and nearer to actually doing it, there wasn't much we noticed, you know, compared to other stuff going on. There really wasn't much. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do it. And I have my little helper here. So
that's it. There's plenty of space. And I had my son help me the first couple episodes. I fired him and rehired him several times. And we've always been it's really a self-produced thing. I've got over 250 episodes out, and they're about an hour plus long a piece. And it really focus on the history of the hobby, people that have been in the VW hobby for a long time, and really gets some in-depth information about people that have been in the VW hobby or have been pivotal in the development of our hobby over the past several decades.
Absolutely. I love it. Well, thanks for your time. We love your bus, and we're going to go check out your website as well.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. I'm here with a double cab that looks like it's had quite a bit of work and TLC put into it, and I'm going to talk to the owner. What's your name?
Alan Harson.
Alan, tell me about your double cab.
It's a 1960, and it's what they call a seam gate. It's got this seam here, and what it was, Volkswagen changed the style. They wanted to carry more people than a single cab, so they extended the cab this way, and they didn't want to tool up, so they used the old gate and put it together and created a seam. And these are considered pretty rare.
So what you're saying is, at first, before they knew that this model was going to take off, they just used their existing tooling and they took some what would have been longer single cab gates, cut them in half, or cut them down to size rather, and made double cab gates. And so these ones you have are factory original seam gates.
Yes. Yes, they are.
So how long have you had this double cab?
10 years.
Okay.
My wife and
what's your wife's name?
Penny.
Hi, Penny. So these folks are posted up here at Octo. They know what they're doing. The bus is shining. I mean, he's obviously got it detailed down to every nook and cranny. They've got their chairs. They're kicking back. And I couldn't resist to talk to them. So did the bus look like this when you got it?
Not at all. No, there's a lot of replacement parts, new metal on the floor. These trucks were considered work trucks, and they were never sold at a dealership as a private vehicle. They were brought over to the dealerships to haul their motors and parts around, and then they ended up on farms and different places. So they took a tremendous beating. Over the years, people have found them and brought them to life.
Well, you certainly did a good job. And so just, you know, obviously this is not television, so I'm going to kind of describe to my listeners what we got here. And it looks like, and correct me if I'm wrong on anything, you've lowered it. Yes. You've put some Porsche polished chrome cookie cutter rims.
Yes.
You've put the deluxe trim around the belt line. You have press bumpers, which are actually correct for a 60, right? You have two racks. You have the rack over the bed, and then you have the rack over the cab, and you have safari windows. I don't believe any double cab originally came with safaris, correct?
They may have in the front. I don't know. We have them in the back and on the sides. They may have had them in the front. The rack, they came with the rack in the back, and there were four slats and a canvas. This one came with a spoke steering wheel. This has a third brake light back there.
Up smart.
In the rack. We put in a bay window gas tank. Gives us 3 more gallons, and so a 13-gallon tank. And it's got a 2110 engine in it, completely redone. Freeway flyer transmission.
So where are you folks out of?
Oh, Hacienda Heights.
Okay. And where did you get this bus?
La Puente.
Oh, not far.
No, wasn't far at all. It was one night that I was just getting ready to go to bed and looked online, and there it was. And they mentioned the seam gates, and we knew we were going, we had to have it.
So you went that night, or did you go the next day?
No, we went the next day, but the man wasn't very friendly. He had been getting phone calls from all over. He said he'd just gotten off the phone from a fellow from France. He was pretty anxious to sell it, so we negotiated and got it.
He probably preferred to sell it to what was essentially one of his neighbors rather than try and get it to a guy in France.
I was in his backyard, yeah. Easy. Easy for him. Easy for me.
Well, I can tell you've put a lot of money, time, blood, sweat, and tears into this double cab, and it really shows, and we love it. I've always wanted an earlier, what they call bullet nose bus. I've never gotten around to getting one of those yet. I've only really had 66s, 67 buses, but I'm envious of your bullet nose.
Oh, thank you.
Have a great day, and thanks for talking to me. Have fun cruising your double cab.
All right. Thank you.
So Charlie Hamill is the vice president of Octo, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. When did Octo start?
Mo Moore and I co-founded it in 1998.
And that was probably a couple years after the Soto dissolved.
No, Soto was still active, but, you know, it wasn't really up to snuff. So, you know, I just took a survey from the bus people, and they wanted something else, so that's what we did.
And you're in Orange County somewhere, right? Like, where's this bus in your attic?
It's in my house, in my backyard, in my garage.
Is it complete? I've seen pictures years ago.
It's nearly complete, yes.
It's nearly complete. What are you missing still?
About 6 pieces.
That's all?
Yeah. Mainly the roof.
Oh, the roof. There's no NOS roofs out there, or are there?
It's out there somewhere.
Now, did you used to own a bus business?
I have the bus stop, but that's more of a hobby slash business. But I'm still, it's Charlie Hamill's bus stop. Yeah, my brother and I started that in 1983.
Usually I see you cruising around on like a bike or a trike at this show.
Yeah, I got my bike. It's sitting right over there.
And then you're here with your son, right?
No kids, no.
No kids.
My brother and I.
Oh, your brother and I.
Yeah.
Okay. And
no wife, no kids. Mom and dad, no problem.
So other than the NOS bus you're building that just needs a few parts, what other buses do you have?
I have a variety of commercial buses. Low mile unrestored is what I collect.
That's what I'm talking about. And you've gotten them from Southern California mostly?
All over the world.
All over the world.
Yeah.
Can people still like visit the bus stop, or is that just more of a hobby? Do you have like a website or anything they can go to?
I'm working on the website, but yeah, people are welcome to come visit. Since I can't bring them all out, I let people come see.
You mean they could come see in person, or they can go to the website?
No, you can come see in person.
Wow, really? Tell me about what it takes to put the show on.
It's a group effort, all volunteers, about 25 people. You see how smooth it runs because everybody knows their job, and we've been doing it a long time.
I've gone to it at a couple locations. I remember years ago I went to Honda Center.
Yeah, we started at the Tejas lot by the Honda Center. Then we moved over to Angel Stadium, and then we've been here for about 10 years.
Now, all the Mo ones.
The very beginning, we're at the Cycle Garden in Huntington Beach.
Right, right.
The little shows.
The Cycle Garden, and then wasn't that also called like the Bus Garden or something like that?
No, it was the Transporter Garden.
That's it.
I think I was at one of those shows too, but that's when I didn't live in Southern California.
The first show was October of 97.
Wow.
The very first event.
Thank you, Charlie. I appreciate it. Maybe if I'm lucky, I can convince him to sit down with me and have a much more extensive talk with him. He's definitely one of the preeminent bus people in the industry or the hobby or whatever you want to call it. All right, so we're about to leave, but I see my friend Kevin Martin here and his son. What's your name again?
Skyler.
Good to see you. I've known Kevin for, I don't know, 3 years now. And I bought a bus from him. And I've bought some Turkish parts from him. And this guy is as much of a bus person as anyone I've ever known. He's nice enough to let me stop by his place from time to time and look at his buses. So how many buses you got right now?
About 18 of them.
Only 18. Most recently, I was looking at a SO34 flip seat with the sub hatch, original paint. What color paint is it?
Sealant Wax Red and beige gray.
Man, the thing's awesome. Kevin is an electrician by trade. You can often find him selling buses on the Samba. And so you do welding?
Yes, sir. Fabrication.
He does fabrication and rust repair. So I bought a 66 SO42 from him that he had done all the floors, the rockers, all the major rust, and then I bought it like that. But it did have the engine, and it was an original engine, and then I put in the interior. So you're like a barn door guy.
Yes. Well, I like the early stuff, just like anyone else would.
Right. But you don't just leave it stock. What do you do to a bus typically?
Make them go fast and stop fast.
Go fast and stop fast. Yeah, that second part is probably the most important part. But you don't just make them go fast and stop fast. Like, if you get a bus, I mean, within weeks of you getting it, what do you typically do if you're focusing your attention on it?
Just hammer them on the ground, disc brakes, front and rear, big motors, redo all the trannies, and just make them.
Rims?
Rims too, yeah. Uh-huh, disc brakes and wheels.
Yeah.
And just make them nice.
So I like Kevin's style because he understands and appreciates the stock stuff, but he is not afraid to slam a bus to the ground, right?
That is true.
You know, obviously you got 18 buses. What are some of your favorites in your stable right now?
That flip seat SO34 is a nice one. I do appreciate it. I do have a barn door, a 54 standard barn door that we're getting rid of. A 55 panel barn door, as well as a few 23s and 21s.
How long have you been into VWs?
Since I was 13.
And how long have you known how to weld?
Since I was 14.
Yeah, so see, that's what Kevin has over me. I can do a lot of stuff on a bus, but I think he and I both agree I suck at welding. So he has the advantage there. And so I'll look at a bus that he has for sale, and he's like, just replace all the floors and the rockers and everything. And I look at him and say, no, I can't do it. So tell me about your first Volkswagen.
58 ragtop bug.
What was that like? Did you fix that up or anything?
I got it as a shell. It was a 58 Coral. Ooh. And super clean, but it was missing everything. Mm. Every body part. And if you guys remember back in the early 90s, people stole cars. So we think it was a stolen car.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, and I bought it for $50.
That's a bargain. Yeah, so someone stole it, stripped every single part off of it, and then you got it for $50. Who'd you buy it from?
Some guy in the San Fernando Valley. And I ended up selling it for $500 to someone a year later. And he wrote back then they would write blank, or I guess bad checks. Who knew? And so I never got a dollar for it after all that, because he canceled the check and I got zero.
Oh man, that is rough. Okay, so that's a great first car story, by the way. And you were, I'm guessing, 15, 16?
No, I think I was, 14 or 15 at the time.
Is there a car you really regret getting rid of?
Yeah, the 63 right-hand drive Porsche.
Oh, 63 356B?
Yeah, it was a B, right-hand drive.
So you wish you wouldn't have gotten rid of that one?
No, probably not, but that's life. We just move on.
Well, you know, I have a 356 story, and I don't even like to talk about it because I get nauseous. I bought it and sold it while prices were still, you know, reasonable. And now that same car is, you know, I think I bought it for 17. I sold it for 23, and I was patting myself on the back. I couldn't get that car for $100,000 now. It was a beautiful, I got it from a guy from Ohio, some old guy who babied it. It was a 356C. It wasn't right-hand drive. But you had that Porsche pretty recently, right?
Yeah, maybe like 6-7 months ago I got rid of it, and I had it for about 6 months as well.
I know you've had bugs. I know you obviously are way into buses. Have you ever had any Type 3s or things or anything?
I had a 67 Fastback when I was 16. And we would go ahead and run out of gas and swap motors around on cars that actually had fuel in them. And just made, you know, it was a lot easier back then. I was younger.
Yeah. I got a buddy, Sam, who I think you know. He lives in Topanga. And one day he called me and said, can I borrow your carburetors? I said, sure. And he came down and he was like, this is so cool. Thanks. And I don't know what he did, but he used it for a while. And then he came back and he didn't even reinstall it.
All right, well,
Kevin deserves a full episode. And I had to kind of twist his arm. He's sort of a soft-spoken, keep-to-himself kind of guy. But super-duper knowledgeable, legit VW guy. So if any of my listeners want to hear more from Kevin, Kevin might have his own episode here coming up. If I can, I don't know, I'll show up at his house unannounced with some beer. And then we'll do it. All right, thank you guys. Have a great day at the show.
We hope you enjoyed our episode on Octo, the early bus show in Long Beach, California. If you want to go to the show or you want to learn more about Octo, visit their website at octo.org. That's OCTO.org. Thanks for joining us, and until the next episode, I'm Cameron Desart with Air Cooled Legends.